Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
Ready for a surprise?
What?
When I get older, losing my hair. Many years from now.
Oh, you already lost it.
Yeah, I know. Welcome to episode. If you got the reference, then you are wrinkled. Mm-hmm. Not Dead, episode number 64. I've been waiting all week to do that.
That's good. That was a good one.
It wasn't too bad. I know. That's music that's over 50 years old.
That's true.
Good Lord. Now, where does the time go? Anyhow, Wrinkled Not Dead, episode number 64 with Mike Bell and Jennifer Bell. Everything about Wrinkled Not Dead can be found on our blog, which is wrinklednotdead.com, shockingly enough. Or you can go to iTunes. We're all in there, too. And there's, you know, so many sources where you can find Wrinkled Not Dead, or any podcast now, but we're delighted to have you with us. We are over 50, for sure. I'm 65, and Jen is 60 years of age, and we're starting all over again.
Reinventing ourselves,
which was last week's show.
Exactly. We actually have a company called Michael Bell Productions. We've been in business since 1989. Prior to that, we did advertising as well, but we do TV and radio and speeches, yep. Anything you can see or hear on television, radio, or yep. Whatever. We do it, michaelbellproductions.com, but advertising is changing. Well, and so we've had to move into the new age.
Into social media.
Social media podcasting, yeah. And that is why we're here.
Yeah, yeah. And 64 weeks in a row, we have been right here. And it gets better for me every
Can
week.
I ask you guys, O2, will what? You please share?
Oh, yeah.
Tell your friends and family about Wrinkled Not Dead, yeah. Our podcast.
Yeah, we're busting our butt here. We want some help.
Yeah, please share, because that's the only way we can grow. Thanks.
Okay, so we have a major topic this episode, and why don't you give us a quote that will kind of set it up.
Okay. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Winston Churchill.
Beautiful. How on earth did he think of these things?
I don't know.
Sitting in the bath, smoking a cigar and drinking brandy.
Probably.
Well, he did. Yeah. Until he was like 93 years old, too. I mean,
exactly.
He's an amazing guy.
Because we're talking about fear of failure.
Yes, we are. Fear of failure is the current topic for this week's show. But before that, we have a little featurette called Rose and Thorn. Rose is something that happened happily during the week, and Thorn is... Well, maybe not so good, but we'll find our way to find a positive aspect to it. So, mine is very simple, kind of stupid, really, but my rose this week is I'm going to attempt for the first time ever to make tomato soup.
Yum.
Well, we have this whole, our friend gave us this monster load of tomatoes. Well, we're never going to eat them. So I've got the juicer out, which is, everybody has a juicer somewhere in their home that's gathering dust. Well, I gathered it, I found it and dusted it off, and I'm going to figure out how to make tomato soup. Now, okay, the thorn is, I've never made tomato soup. I don't have a recipe. I'm going to go from scratch. I know it's going to involve dill, but that's it. So a courageous attempt.
Will you put the recipe on our blog?
Only if you don't get diarrhea or something awful from
it. Well, if someone has a good recipe for tomato soup, please.
Yeah, okay. So after I lay out what happened, we'll be welcome.
Be great.
Yeah, somebody homemade tomato soup. No, be faking it with the Campbell's stuff.
That's right.
Yeah, all right. So what's yours, Rose and Thorn?
My rose actually is that Pixie and Boone are here after many, many weeks. Pixie and Boone are Lauren and Michael's dogs. They're little chihuahuas,
kids.
And they've been with us forever. I just adore Pixie and Boone. The thorn is that Pixie is 13. She's deaf, and she's not getting along with the new arrival, Emma. Emma is my mother's dog that we've adopted.
Yeah.
She actually came from the Humane Society way back, and she's doing very, very well here. And she's gets along with all of our dogs, but because of poor Pixie, of her age, her lack of hearing, her sight...
It's anxiety. She just has
big
anxiety.
Big problem, yeah. And she's got some back issues as well.
Yeah.
And so what I'm finding is with dogs, it takes a long, long time to acclimate them. And even though we go at a million miles an hour,
mm-hmm.
you have to slow down to their speed.
And that's hard, though, isn't it?
Very hard, which means yesterday I sat with Pixie on one side on the chair
yeah.
and Emma in my arms.
Which was progress, though, wasn't it?
big progress, but I did not move for hours.
I know. So nothing else gets done.
Nothing else gets done. But if you really want it to work, you got to give it time, and it's got to be a priority. And we're going to make this happen.
Yeah, I know. We are. We are determined. We are absolutely determined.
Yeah. So those are my rose and thorns.
So we have around the house, we have all kinds of things set up, baby gates and separating them and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, we're getting it done. I also have a bud this week. Which, remember, Carolina Ekstrom from up in
Balboa.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Hello. She, one of her siblings gave her the idea, and she gave us the idea about a bud, rose and thorn and a bud. Well, the bud this week is the use of social media that's been all these 64 weeks in growing and learning and all that. We're applying now to other people. We're about to launch Tammy Lee Webb's podcast. She's done everything. Tammy Lee Webb is most famous for Buns of Steel, and we had her on the program a while back, and also put the seed, the bud, in her ear that she should do a show. And so now we are going to produce it for her, and we're really excited. She's doing exactly what we're doing right now. She's looking at the notes in preparation for episode one.
Yeah, she's going to be phenomenal.
Oh, she's going to be great.
She's a natural.
She is a natural. Mm-hmm. So we'll have fun. We'll have a lot of fun with that. So, fun fact. Would you like to take it?
I would. J.K. Rowling, and she wrote all those children's books, Harry Potter books.
You bet.
J.K. Rowling was the first person to become a billionaire only by selling her book.
Isn't that astonishing?
Mm-hmm. Now, but get this. She lost her billionaire status because she donated so much money to charity. Isn't that amazing?
I know.
She came from rags to riches.
Oh, yeah.
Her story is
living
incredible.
Living in a car and things like that. I mean, really bad.
And writing the first Harry Potter book in a little coffee shop in England, northern England.
Yeah.
And very tough. Talk about making it happen. And I'm sure she had many days of fear of failure.
Oh.
But she just ran with it. And look.
But you've seen pictures of her recently?
Yeah.
When you look at her, you look in her eyes and you can see not only her kindness, which obviously is abundant with all the money she's given away and donated, but also there's this courageous, fearless look in her face. And it's in the cast of the eyes. I can't put my finger on it, but it makes her very engaging and attractive. She could be 700 pounds and she'd be beautiful just because of this look.
Well, I think she really saw the Winston Churchill thing, like success is not final, failure is not fatal.
Yeah.
It's continuing on, and she continued to do more books, and then she did the movies.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So she just saw she swam in her own lane.
Yeah.
Which is what we talked about before.
Yeah, exactly, and just was relentless in her pursuit of success.
And success changes all the time, ebbs and flows.
Ebbs and flows, and so this brings us to exactly what we want to talk about today. And we have a bunch of bullet points on this because we always try to do some research on our major topic, but it is about the fear of failure. And also, in giving you these kind of, maybe sometimes they're a little bit dry, but they're certainly facts, we'll give you a story of our own, about our own confrontation, shall we say, with fear of failure.
So tell me.
You want to do that one first?
I want to hear. What?
Okay,
What were you afraid of?
Okay, the first day, I can remember it so vividly right now, that I went on radio. Was in Oshawa, Ontario. Oh, God, probably 71 or something, 72, maybe that. And I had no work. I had just done a motion picture, a really bad one, and I was stuck out there with nothing. And I went, and just because my parents were so nice and helped me get vocal training at a boarding school, I literally walked into the radio station, applied for the job, and they gave it to me. Well, now what are you going to do? You know, now I've never done this before. Now I have to learn the electronics of doing all this stuff. And they were so, you know, I mean, everybody's busy, 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 busy. And so my training was very minimal. And then I just got cast into the job. Of course, it's the midnight show. Nobody else is there. Nobody in the building. Nothing. Just me, the machine, and the microphone. And I didn't know what was going to happen when I opened the key for the microphone at midnight that night on CKQS in Oshawa, Ontario. And I was terrible. I really was. I was really awful. I was nervous. I was bad. But I did fail, and I was in fear of it. But what transpired after that is what kind of made me the kind of guy I am now, that I'm not afraid to do public speaking or anything like that, like you are.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to cross the Rubicon, as it were, I had to have that fear. That fear just drove me over the edge. And once the key on the microphone opened, even though I stank, I was done with that. You know, I'd conquered that, and I just was going to get better from that point on. That's my story.
But don't you find that fear when you're young is a motivator, and fear as you get older is exhausting and it immobilizes you?
That's an excellent point.
I really think you can use fear. So I guess as people our age, we have to find that fear. We have to see it as something that challenges us and makes us excited, rather than, I can't do this, I'm too tired. Because I find when I'm fearful, I get very tired.
Yeah, it does drain you.
It drains you to nothing. And so you just think, oh, I just can't do this. I can't go through this again. You know, I've lived 60 years. I don't want to fear. I don't want to feel it. Yeah. I don't want to be afraid anymore. And yet I have to say right now is one of my most fearful times.
Huh.
Is starting all over again at 60 years old.
Yeah.
And doing jobs, little jobs here and there that are exciting but scary.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to dig down deep, listeners, if you're older, and find that fear that you had, Mike, that drove you.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That doesn't keep you from wanting to get up in the morning and say, I just can't face this fear anymore. I think what we're all afraid of is that people not liking us. I know I want everyone to like me. Even if I'm miserable, I want everyone to like me.
So what's your personal story, or is that really it, the starting over at 60 thing?
I have to say I've never been as afraid in my life as I am now. You know, financial, worrying about finances, things come up about my mom. She's 95. I'm scared of her dying.
Yeah.
Our dogs, some of our dogs are getting older. I'm scared of that. And I'm scared of every time I go for a breast exam or this exam or that exam that they'll find something. Because as you get older, things start happening.
Yeah, but that's fear in general. Fear of failure. Failing at what?
Fear at failing at being a success. A successful 60-year-old.
Oh,
but my point being is that all these other fears start piling up. And then when you get ready to do something, you're afraid of failure. Do you know what I'm saying?
I absolutely
get
it.
These are building blocks of fear that exhaust you as you go up. As you get older, I'm only talking about older people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe younger, too. I don't know. Tell me about
I throw that in there right now. We have a lot of younger listeners. Be sensitive with your parents about that, or your grandparents who might be facing what Jennifer is just talking about right now. Just know that that's going to be part of their life at some point. And as a young person, you can help them with that, with your youthful enthusiasm and, and lack of fear.
Because we've had to deal with everyday fears that at the point that we get to the point where we need to use fear to do something in business or to perform or whatever, that's when we're exhausted and we're afraid of failure. And I think what the story I could say is every time that curtain went up on stage, I was afraid. Because when you do live theater and you're doing, you know, a house theater, so there people have paid a lot of money to come and see you.
Right.
You never know if that's the day you're going to forget your lines or you just can't do it or there's going to be something that goes wrong. And I remember as a young person, I was afraid, but that fear gave me adrenaline and pushed me forward.
Mm-hmm.
As an older person, that fear sometimes just makes me tired.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a wonderful personal story, and it kind of feeds into what the points that we have, and
yes.
They're brief. They're quite brief. Most of this comes from a fellow by the name of Guy Winch, PhD. Everybody has the same feelings that Jennifer just described and what I just described, but number one on his, like, 10 signs of, I love when people do that anyway, failing makes you worry about what other people think about you.
Yeah.
You just said that. Like standing on that stage.
Yeah.
You know, I was worried every time. They're going to think we stink.
Yeah.
And I did stink on the radio. So, I mean, there it is, number one.
But also, don't you feel the same way with starting in social media? We're going up against people, kids, who basically are born into this,
yeah.
and we're having to rearrange our brain pattern
yeah.
to work through this.
That's right. And watching the ratings and thinking about, wait a second, the guy in Germany who has this colossal radio program.
In Berlin.
Is Berlin, and probably all across Europe with 50,000 watts of AM power, and is on, you know, his podcast is on daily. You start to, you know, God, do we have
yeah.
the stuff to make a dent in this?
You start to doubt yourself.
But that's right. Exactly right. You start to doubt yourself.
So number two, failing makes you worry about your ability to pursue the future you desire, which is exactly what we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You start to doubt yourself.
Mm-hmm. Failing makes you worry that people will lose interest in you. Not attractive anymore.
I know. That's a tough one. And
it
particularly
is.
For women.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You know,
yeah.
you just go, gosh, I can't get by on, not just that you get by on your looks, but there's some youthfulness that's really, that makes
mojo,
it easier for
some
you.
Some kind of
yeah,
mojo.
Yeah.
Like, I could care less that I'm bald, but women really are something about their...
It is. It's a tough one.
It's a social thing, that's for sure.
Failing makes you worry about how smart or capable you are.
Oh, dear. Failing makes you worry about disappointing people whose opinion you value.
Very much so.
Yeah.
But that's been like that even
yeah,
when I was young.
Yeah,
we always wanted to please the teacher... Yeah. Or the audience.
Again. Or your brothers and sisters or your, you know, the whole pile. It makes you, yeah, exactly.
This is something I do all the time.
Yeah.
You tend to tell people beforehand that you don't expect to succeed in order to lower their expectations. I always say, yeah, we're going to try this, but you know what? Who knows?
Yeah, we'll give it our best.
We'll give
but
it our
might,
best.
Probably the, won't work.
There's a good yeah. chance it won't work out.
Well, it's, you know. Episode 64, honey. So
Intention.
God, how many topics have we covered in 64 episodes? Once you fail at something, you have trouble imagining what you could have done differently to succeed.
Mm.
I have that.
Really?
I do. I just close that off, and I don't make a post horror analysis, if you like. I just move on, I guess. I don't know.
Well, that's good, though, because some people get stuck in that quicksand of thinking, okay, that didn't work out. What did I do wrong? And they never get out of it either.
Well, that's true. I guess I think with this PhD fella here, Mr. Winch, saying that there's balance in everything.
But, exactly.
Yeah.
And you often get last-minute headaches, stomach aches, or other physical symptoms that prevent you from completing your preparation. And I know I've done that.
Oh, yeah. You often get distracted by tasks that prevent you from completing your preparation, which in hindsight... were not as urgent as they seemed at the time.
Well, the dogs. The dogs are always an excuse not to finish something.
Yeah, you know.
They're barking. They're crying.
Yeah,
they're this.
That's right. We should keep that in mind. Gosh, this is an episode just for us.
I know.
Okay, thanks, everybody.
Yeah. You tend to procrastinate and run out of time to complete your preparation adequately. So I'm not a procrastinator.
No, you
but you are.
But
you know, you're just putting off the fear of failure by procrastinating. But I think if you can face it and use it like we did when we were young,
yeah.
it'll give us the energy or the fuel to do things.
You have to understand people like me, because the panic at the end is what kind of drives the result for me.
I know,
for people who are like me.
I know some people, like our goddaughter sometimes likes to put stuff off, but she said that's when she does her very best work, is
under
when she's on a time crunch.
Ah.
Me, I need a lot of time to prepare so I feel
Well, you cover everything. I mean, that's one thing about you, is that you definitely don't procrastinate in anything, but you can, I don't know if there's any possibility of over-preparation. But if there is, you might get close to it.
Remember Saturday Night Live, Al Franken, when he did that guy, it said, I'm
oh,
good
yeah.
enough, I'm smart enough, and God darn it, people like me.
That's right. I remember him.
Remember that? That was so, and he did a daily affirmation. That was his daily affirmation from Saturday Night Live. Al Franken. I'm good enough.
Senator Al Franken.
Yeah, or maybe president. He says he might run.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. That's a pretty good affirmation, though.
But you know, that was such a... I mean, we're going off on a tangent, but
yeah.
that was such a bizarre part of the program.
It really was, but it was a guy that was talking about, you know, he looked in the mirror and this is a way he could get up and go out and do something.
I know. Well, it was classic.
It's all about fear of failure in someone's eyes.
Yeah. Okay, so.
How do we prevent this? What do we do?
Precisely. Well, point number one, and there's only 2 points, which is fascinating. It's all this guy's work here, but own the fear.
So what do you mean by that?
Well, it's important to accept that failure will make you feel fear and shame. But trust others to whom you can discuss these feelings. In other words, you know, you admit that you're afraid, I guess. Own it. Yeah, okay. I'm terrified about doing a podcast. I don't know if it's going to work. We need this to work. It's got to be successful. Have we shared that? Yeah, we have. Has it made a difference about sharing that fear and anxiety about it? Yes, it has.
I think because everybody's listening has fear of failure. And if you can share it, then you're all in it together, and somehow you feel supported.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's enough about that part, because I think that's
exactly
It's a human emotion. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid of the fear.
And don't be ashamed of it.
And
don't be ashamed to be afraid.
Yeah, okay.
Number two is focus on aspects in your control. This is something
that's you.
I like, because I'm a control freak.
That's right.
Identify the aspects of the task or preparation that are in your control and focus on those. So what can I do about this? How can I overcome this? Brainstorm ways to reframe aspects of the task that seem out of your control so that you feel that you can regain the control.
So here's an example from him.
Yeah.
If you fail to find work because you just don't know the right people, then fix that by setting goals to expand the network, going through your address book, going onto social media, letting people know. The best one for that is LinkedIn and social media. I find it boring, to be truthful, but I know a lot of people who actually get work out of LinkedIn. And so when we put Wrinkled Not Dead post things on LinkedIn, I'm always reassured that there are people out there who are supporting us as well. But when I see their own stories on LinkedIn, I know that they're reaching out too. And it kind of makes for a different twist on that aspect of social media or that particular program, LinkedIn, or that group. And so, you know, like I belong to a voiceover group in there, and I see posts by people who are, you know, down in the dumps. Doggone it. When can I get a job doing this? I've worked this my whole life and I can't get a voiceover job. And all the folks will help and support you, which is cool.
Yeah. And the thing is, I keep hearing more and more that people are going to be working till they're 70 or 75, or most people aren't going to be able to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we have to get over our fear of failure if we're going to continue on working later in life,
mm-hmm.
because what we were doing in the past is probably going to change with what we're going to be doing now later in life.
Yeah.
And that somehow is going to connect some way through social media.
Yeah.
And so we've got to get not afraid of this. Just take it.
I know.
And go with it.
For those of you who are just putting the toe in the water, God bless you. Good luck and do it. If you're interested in blogging or podcasting or involving yourself and your maybe a company of your own on social media, find folks who know how to do that and let them help you.
We'll help you.
Heck, we've been helping people, you know, now. We're into our third or fourth, you know, way of assisting people just because we stumbled our way through it and got help from our godchildren.
And I think if you can face fear, one last thing, Mike, it really gets your brain moving.
Yeah.
It makes you think in different ways and things start to kind of open up in your brain. You're not so furry headed anymore. So I think it is to look at the fear, say, this is what it is. I'm going to take it and I'm going to remember how I used it when I was young.
Okay. I'll buy that.
Yeah. So we're going to have a lot more information on our blog.
Yeah, I'll post all these those 10 points and all that from, what was his name again? I want to make sure I get it. I always like to give credit where credit is due. The guy did a lot of work. Guy Winch, PhD, who's, obviously a very intelligent person. Thank you very much for those points. And they will be on wrinklednotdead.com.
And please share your thoughts with us, too, and we can bring them onto the show as well. Because your fears, we may not have talked about, and it may help somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Love it. Love it. Love it. Like I love Jen's Health Minute. Actually, I am holding in my hand your Health Minute. Go ahead and tell them what.
Well, quite a few years ago, 5 years ago, we started drinking a thing called sport tea.
Uh-huh.
And we would get it at the local little coffee shop. And it was really good. It sort of pick me up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like an iced tea.
Well, and you can have it hot.
You can have it hot.
But we had prefer it cold.
And it's sport tea. It's with green tea, vitamin C, electrolytes, and Siberian...
Go ahead for you. I couldn't pronounce that.
Elethro root.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. But it says it's for mind, body, spirit, peak performance, and balance.
Good grief. We've got to talk to Tammy Lee.
Exactly.
She wants to do that in her podcast.
No calories, decaf, no sodium.
Right.
And it's just really good, and I forgot about it. And for a pick-me-up, it's... just delicious.
It's amazing. I don't know why it's so effective. It has basically nothing except a bit of potassium in it.
It has premium grade green and black tea.
Yeah, those are the ingredients.
The
right.
root I talked about, ginger, vitamin C. And what's interesting, it says it's award-winning, it's nutritious, it's got vitamin C, electrolytes, energizer, stress fighter, thirst quencher. But it's really cool. And we're not doing a commercial for this or anything like that. I just wanted to tell you that it kind of helps me. It picks me up. I've been getting cramps in my toes. And I think because the potassium is in it, that it really helps. So we're going to put this on our blog, and you can read about it.
Well, it's endorsed by Dave Soss, who's an Everest expedition leader, a mountain climber. So I'm going to make sure my brother Ron knows about this stuff because he climbs mountains all the time. So, we will put this on the blog as well, Sport Tea, and I hope it's popular.
It's really good.
It tastes great. It has a certain sweetness without being cloying.
Yeah, no sugar in it.
It's very good. It's an interesting product,
Yeah,
isn't
so
it?
I just thought if you need a pick-me-up that's natural and good for you, there you go.
Okay. Wait a second while I put the box down here.
All right. Remember when?
Ah, yes,
this
I do
is one of my favorites.
I did remember when, but I forgot because... when I get older.
Oh,
I won't do it. Sorry, folks. Sorry. Very, very, very sorry. Final episode of House of Cards, the U.S. version.
Well, we didn't do our Remember When.
Oh.
Our Remember When.
Oh, sorry. I was going to get time off.
What we were going into, Remember When. I know. He's stepping ahead of himself.
It's because I was putting the box
exactly.
back on the thing.
Exactly. That's okay. This is real, and this is what you get.
I'm telling you.
We don't
bananas.
Edit this stuff out.
You're right.
Remember When is when we go back to the days of when we were young and everything was easy and nothing hurt and life was good.
Yep.
And so my Remember When is TV watching.
Uh-huh.
Remember Captain Kangaroo, if you were in the United States? He was a children's show, and he was just so great. And us kids would watch Captain Kangaroo, and it was sort of like, there'd be a singing, I think there was a singing moose on there, and he'd open up a big chest of goodies and talk to the kids, and it was really calm.
Yeah.
And then with our Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
We loved a show called Sing Along with Mitch.
And I remember that
one?
Yeah, I do. Sing
and
Along with Mitch.
And it had the bouncing ball with the words.
Yeah.
And you'd sing along with Mitch, and we would actually do it as a family.
Unbelievable.
And it was fun. And I go back, I can even, let's smell the baking in the background, and we're singing along with Mitch, and it was a really fun family time.
Yeah, that's a nice memory to have.
It is.
And look, after all these years, you still have it right there and right in your head.
Isn't
it
right cool? back to sing all along right. with
okay.
Mitch.
Now, here's one. You don't know this one because you were in the United States at this time, but I remember. La, 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 la. Canadians will remember. How could you ever forget The Friendly Giant? The Friendly Giant was what a tremendous idea this was. It's just a normal-sized guy, right? He's wearing like a costume like a forest person or something like that. But he lives in a castle. And so at the beginning of the program, they had this teeny tiny miniature furniture built. They'd have a chair and a little love seat for two to cuddle up in
cool.
and all this, and a fireplace, a little tiny fireplace. And he'd reach down there. And I mean, it was very believable. And a little rope rug in the middle and all this kind of stuff. And the Friendly Giant would tell you stories. And then they started to throw in some characters, some puppets into this. But what are you going to do? He lives in a castle. He's got the stuff down way down there at his feet with all the people who are supposed to be watching. You have a giraffe. He's the only one who can get to the window of the castle.
Wow.
And it's Jerome the Giraffe.
Oh.
And so it was the most charming program. And it went on and on and on and on. It's an absolute classic in Canada. You ask anybody of our era, and they'll certainly remember The Friendly Giant.
Oh, man.
It was wonderful.
So I have to apologize because we should have done time off
I wasn't going to go and skewer you for the chart.
I went ahead. So here we go. Time off. Time off is when we find something. I apologize. That's why we've been married. How many years?
That's okay, because you just don't say anything about somebody making a gaffe. That's all.
That's
easy.
True. Time off is when we find something that you guys can do that's free, inexpensive, and just a lot of fun. And the time off that I really like, that I kind of wanted to talk about, and may not sound like time off, is organizing stuff you no longer wear.
Yeah.
So jewelry, handbags, shoes, clothing, getting all that stuff out of your closet and then selling them.
Mm-hmm.
To places in the United States anyways here, RealReal, which is an online, they come out to your house.
Yep.
They'll take what they think they can sell, and they sell it for you online, and you get a check.
You make some money.
My Sister's Closet, where you take the clothes into this facility, and they sell it in their online or in their stores. Or a local place that we have is called Double Take.
Yeah.
And I've actually made quite a bit of money selling purses, shoes, and clothing, and jewelry that I no longer wear. And it's great. It makes you feel wonderful that you've cleaned out your closet, but you're also making a significant amount of money on the side.
Well, you know, I don't know when that became a thing. I think for a while, people were kind of embarrassed to do that.
They were.
And I don't know why, because, I mean, it's facing financial realities. Why wouldn't you want to make some money?
Exactly. We're all tight for cash as
we get
older.
Everybody.
So why not? You'd be surprised. And then also, what they can't sell, they'll donate, and you get a donation slip for your taxes.
Okay.
So it's a win-win all around. So try it out and look at, see what's local around or who you can contact, but get that stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth money.
You know what? It's off the point a little bit, but there's a way of looking at it that's a little different too. Like if you buy a good quality product, whether it's say it's a handbag,
okay,
and it costs X number of dollars. Well, it isn't going to cost X number of dollars because you can reduce that by about 30% at the end when you, if you keep care of it and you sell it or you know figure out the way with RealReal or one of the other services, then it really costs 30% less than what you paid.
That's a very good point. So if you buy quality in particular.
That's right.
I tell you, purses and jewelry and shoes go really fast. So go out there, make you feel good and make it fun.
Yeah. Well, good for you. That's not really, I agree with you. But for you, it's not work. It is time off. All right.
It is.
Mine, final episode of the American version of House of Cards. Now, I'm assuming that this is a season finale because they left it hanging right out there. But I'm not going to spoil it for anybody who's going to watch this thing. But the acting, Robin Wright in this thing I'm not even going to say that either. She plays the president's wife. Let's just leave it at that. The first lady. I'm not going to give it away. But it had us on the edge of our seats, didn't it? It's great.
It's so good.
We couldn't wait. And we were binge watching that sucker like crazy, weren't we?
You learn a lot from it. These things that we're watching on TV, you just learn a lot about politics. And man, is it interesting.
Okay.
And it's on Netflix.
On Netflix. Mm-hmm. Okay. Remember when?
He's never going to let me down with this.
All right. Well,
I
could start singing again.
All right. So you know what? I failed and I wasn't afraid.
All right. Okay. All right. We always like to wrap up the show with a quote. God, sometimes it's so easy to kill you.
It is.
That's so funny.
But I'm admitting that I failed.
All right, okay.
And it didn't kill me.
Okay, it didn't kill you. Most people have attained their greatest success just one step beyond their greatest failure.
Mm.
Think about that. That's interesting. Napoleon Hill, the author of Think and Grow Rich, one of the best of the best in that genre, said that.
Wow.
I'll say it again because it's really good. Most great people have attained their greatest success just one step beyond their greatest failure. Love that.
So don't be afraid of your failure.
Right.
Because your success, your greatest success could be the next step.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So embrace it and go on.
Yes, ma'am.
I love it. I've got one to end the show.
Okay.
Fear kills more dreams than failure ever will. Don't be afraid of failure. And remember, we weren't born yesterday.
When I get old.
Oh, gosh.